Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third podcast in our series on preparing for the Procurement Act. I'm Jane Bentham, and I'm a partner in our disputes team, and I'm here with Rachel Mallett, a supervising associate in our competition team. And today we're going to be looking at exclusion and debarment under the Act. So, Rachel, to kick us off, what changes can suppliers expect to see in respect of the exclusion regime under the Procurement Act?
So the basic thrust of the regime remains the same insofar as the concepts of mandatory and discretionary grounds are retained. The Act does, however, introduce new concepts of excluded and excludable suppliers, but broadly an excluded supplier is a supplier to which a mandatory ground applies, while an excludable supplier is then a supplier to which a discretionary ground applies. In terms of the substance of the exclusion grounds themselves, the Act largely carries across these grounds from the current regime, but it does also include some new or expanded exclusion grounds.
So what should we be aware of in terms of the new exclusion grounds?
I think it's definitely worth highlighting the expanded discretionary ground for poor performance. So this ground will apply where a supplier has breached a relevant contract and the breach was sufficiently serious, meaning it resulted in either termination, the award of damages, or settlement. It will also, however, apply where a supplier has not performed a relevant contract to the authority's satisfaction, provided the supplier was given proper opportunity to improve performance but failed to do so. So I think this is quite a significant change insofar as it broadens the circumstances in which this exclusion ground can apply.
And are there any exclusion risks for suppliers arising from the use of subcontractors?
So under the Act, suppliers can be excluded on the basis of their associated suppliers, that is, persons they're relying on to satisfy the conditions of participation, or also on the basis of their subcontractors. However, there is a bit of a safety net for suppliers because contracting authorities will be required to give notice of their intention to exclude on this basis and give suppliers the opportunity to replace either their associated supplier or subcontractor, as the case may be.
And what about the new debarment list introduced by the Act?
I mean, undoubtedly, I think this is one of the key changes brought about by the Act. And the kind of driver for this is the government's desire to have a stronger and more consistent approach to managing unsuitable suppliers. Just in terms of how that's expected to work, contracting authorities will be obliged to notify the responsible minister within 30 days of excluding a supplier. That minister will then conduct its own investigation into whether the supplier is excluded or excludable, going back to those definitions I mentioned earlier. And what's expected to happen in practice is that the new procurement review unit will conduct these investigations. And during those investigations, suppliers will have the opportunity to make representations. The unit will then make a recommendation to the responsible minister, who'll ultimately decide whether to include the supplier on the debarment list and for how long.
And what can suppliers do if a debarment decision is made against them?
So first of all, an 8-day standstill period will follow the minister giving notice of its decision. During this time, a supplier can make an application to the court for interim relief. In deciding that application, the court will have regard to both the public interest and ensuring public contracts are not awarded to suppliers who pose a risk, but also the interests of the supplier, particularly around the kind of financial impact of inclusion on the list. Second, once on the list, a supplier can at any time apply to have their name removed, but the minister will only be required to consider such an application where there's a material change of circumstance or information comes to light which was not previously considered.
What about appeals? Can suppliers then appeal debarment decisions?
So the Act has quite specific provisions around this. However, it is a relatively high bar, so suppliers can only appeal on the basis of material mistake of law, and proceedings also have to be brought within 30 days of when the supplier knew or ought to have known about the decision against them. If an appeal is ultimately successful, however, the court can set aside the minister's decision and may also award compensation.
So it sounds like there are some really quite important changes for suppliers to be aware of here. What are your key takeaways for suppliers?
So I think first, be alive to the new exclusion ground for poor performance, particularly where you have a contracting authority raise concern about performance in respect of an ongoing contract. That said, I think suppliers can take some comfort from the fact that this is still supposed to be a relatively high bar. And the government have publicly said that this exclusion ground should be reserved for those cases where performance has been so poor as to put the future delivery of contracts at risk. Second, I think obviously the consequences of inclusion in the debarment register have the potential to be extremely severe for suppliers. So ultimately, it's important to have a good understanding of the exclusion grounds more broadly and ensure that you have policies and processes in place to, as appropriate, to minimise any risk of breach.